in real estate down in the strip, and were not involved in seeing other collecting rents, they also expressed the opinion that there was a lot of fires that were so convenient for developers. Mm-hmm. They helped them out so much in buying, lowering the value on a piece of property they wanted. So that is, if it wasn't helped along, it was just an absolutely astounding coincidence.
Yes.
It's one after another.
Mm-hmm. That happened a lot.
Yeah, all over.
And nobody would blink an eye.
Mm-hmm.
But how could a big old stone church burn up, you know, for God's sake?
Take some help.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was in Buckhead, and the Buckhead people saw it as a nuisance. What was going on out there was a nuisance.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So cable had stayed downtown.
It was just like, it was exactly the same reason all of those clubs and everything are torn down over there now and missing. It's part real estate deal. It's part that people in Buckhead saw it as a nuisance to have the nightclubs in their area.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Continues.
Well, anyway, that was the end of Stone. That was the end of that. And then came the fall, and school was cranking up, and I figured, well, I'm going to go back and finish school. And so I re-enrolled to finish my final year at the Atlanta College of Art.
Mm-hmm.
And graduated in the spring of 72, because that was fall of 71. And I finally finished that up, but
you never got drafted.
I never got drafted, and I'll tell you, this is just a little footnote to it all, and I don't know if you find it interesting or not, just my own way of looking at how things were.
Mm-hmm.
in that spring time of 70. There was Kent State broke out and that whole thing, and there was a little reprieve from the New York engagement at the Public Theater to closing that show before we went back to New York to start rehearsal for the European tour, which started in early May, the end of April. So there was about a month of time in the springtime of 70, and it was in April that we all went home and took a break and everything. And I went home, painted my mother's house, enjoyed getting out on the ladder during the day painting. I went down, I was more interested in getting my passport and getting my shots and getting ready to head for Europe than anything else. And so I was doing all that. Well, earlier, at some point I was asked to, I got a letter from the draft board. To come down for my physical.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'd gotten that letter is because I had not stayed enrolled in school. And I remember coming down that afternoon and turning on the television and the headlines of Kent State on the headlines on the afternoon news. Breaking news. Shooting at Kent State. And this was all very much on everybody's mind.
Yeah, the silver blades were there.
I mean, it was a huge deal.
They were both involved there.
Went to the mailbox. And from the U.S. Department of Interior, my passport, and was one letter. And from the draft board, another letter saying, you are hereby ordered to report for your physical induction into the armed service or draft board, whatever. Letter from the draft board and my passport and the same in the mailbox on the same day, Kent State. So I'm going, well, I guess I know what I'm going to do. I went ahead and went for my physical. Because I had just enough time. I think it was another week to kill or something. So I went on down and had my physical checked off on the written part of the exam. Checked off that I had done every damn thing they ever asked for. And then some. Just because there was no way I was going to go to Vietnam. I was not going to Vietnam.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there were some. And I had brothers in high school, classmates. I know people, you know, and everything. And that was fine. you know, that's where, you know, where you really drew the line. But I was not going, you know, and I was, and this passport was my ticket to not go. And if I hadn't gone to Europe, I'd have gone to Canada, and that would have been a mistake. But as it turned out, I failed my physical. And I got a 4F.
What 4?
A heart murmur.
That you didn't know you had?
That I knew I had it. I did know I had it. I had it since I was 10, 8 or 9 or 10 years old. And when I was really young, went to my parents took me over to Emory.
You didn't know if it was enough to keep you out?
I didn't think I had it anymore.
Oh, you didn't think it was?
Because when I went to, they took me to Emory University, to the heart thing there, and get it checked out with an EKG and all that stuff, and the high, you know, all the tests and buzzers and bells to see what it was. And the diagnosis then was that it was a functional murmur that was going to out, I was going to outgrow it. And here I was a kid. I was a kid who was, I had hay fever. I was skinny. I don't think I weighed more than 125 pounds.
You were skinny, really skinny.
In high school, 125, 129 pounds. I thought, you know, and that was, you know, I couldn't do anything. Played tennis, tried to play basketball. And I thought, well, okay, I'll outgrow these things. And didn't pay attention. And of course, by the time that thing happened in the spring of 70 with Kent State and all of that I'm telling you about, and going for my physical, I didn't even think about that murder. I didn't even think about it. But I was more concerned with them drafting me.
Yeah.
And so I was checking off, you know, all, have you tried this? Have you tried that? There's a list of 100 things. I said, yes. Have you done this? Yeah. And written, you know, they asked me, well, why do you think that you wouldn't make a good soldier or something? And I said, well, I tell you, I think I'd be so scared out there, I'd probably shoot the wrong people or something. I was making up any kind of shit I could just to not be drafted. I mean, I don't know what side of it you or anybody else is on, but I was not going to. Are you a veteran?
No, I went through with the same sort of thing. Whenever this is through, the last thing I'm prepared to tell them is, as soon as you issue me a weapon, I'm injuring the highest ranking person around me, so be forewarned. And luckily I never had to make that speech, though.
Well, I was using the same strategy, not quite the same words, but I was using the same strategy because I wanted them to think I was crazy and that they didn't want me. And I did like Arlo Guthrie said. I stayed up with Joe David, Art
Thomas.
The night before I went for that thing, stayed up all night drinking and smoking. And I mean, I was. I went into that physical, and I was just like Arlo Guthrie said.
Yeah.
So I'd feel it. You know, I stayed up all night so I'd look and feel my best the next day.
I laughed because I did almost the same thing and went in.
Just the exact.
And it was just like, but I had a friend that worked in the induction center here, and he told me, you're from South Georgia. He said, go to Jacksonville. He said, Jacksonville is not as hip to everything as this one is. And so I went home and went down to Jacksonville with all the, you know, good old boys, gung-ho, I'm going to Nam. Yeah, I'm ready.
The naval.
Yeah.
They want to get
and just like Arlo Guthrie, the same thing. Screaming out, that dog is spitting in your face. Then I found out the hearing thing, there's a tone that I'm totally deaf to. Because they put headphones on and leave, and then the guy, next thing I know, the guy, it won't work, just five fist button, but say, well, you got a fist button when you hear a tone. And I go, as soon as I hear a tone, finally, they change the tone, and he comes back in. You're totally deaf to between so-and-so frequency and so-and-so frequency. I never noticed. I didn't know. Thanks for telling me. And then, but I was lucky enough that I'd been a mobilization organizer, Politico, and that was when the MOB had just announced they were going to organize the Army, and they'd gotten a memo down in Jacksonville So when I put Moeb, I'm handed a pink card to carry around, a pinko.
Moeb was what?
Anti-war mobilization. And then I'd been real active at Emory, so I had a pink card to carry around. Mm-hmm. Came to the inn, and they told me I would not be allowed to die in defense of my country.
Well, I told them I was a conscientious objector, and of course, I wasn't really sure that made any difference. What I was really more interested in was letting them think that I was just plain nuts and they didn't want me, and that's my whole strategy. And then, of course, you know, showing up and looking and feeling your best, just like Arlo, right out of Arlo Guthrie's telling you to do that. But I wasn't thinking about the heart murmur. Finally got the letter saying that. Well, I didn't know I didn't have to get a letter. I knew before I left.
Yeah.
They gave me a 4F
down on Ponce at the center down there.
That's
you used to get them when you come out, because I worked for the Quakers, counseling people how to get out of the draft during that time.
Well, I was so surprised that I walked out of that. I was so relieved, and it was not at
life
all.
Life was opened up.
Well, you know, if it had gone the other way and I had gone to Canada or used that passport in that way, that would have been a big mistake, and my life would be real different.
Oh yeah.
If I had to do that. But you know, I was young and crazy and paranoid enough to do that if I had to.
Yeah.
I mean, I had convinced myself of that anyway. Now, you know, but I think that was just a stroke of luck that it went the other way. Heart murmur, 4F, and they didn't want me because of that, and that was that. And I'm going, oh boy. And, you know, to this day, I always think about how that was a real pivotal time in my life, because it could have gone the other way.
Yeah, the folks that got the greetings, please report too, that got the next letter.
Yes.
You're accepted.
Yeah.
Yes.
It changes.
Selective Service was in charge of it then. That's what it was. The letters were sent from the Selective Service. And
a lot of my vet friends that did not die over there have died since. Are in a mess.
Oh yeah.
Even today.
Oh, I don't know anybody that went to Nam that came back totally home. They're all even they'll be the first to tell you that they have areas that they just keep blocked off or that.
I know a few. I have a few still that are alive, but like I said, and some of them went so crazy, and some of them got homeless, and some of them committed suicide.
Yeah.
It was a sad. It's still a sad.